We have a special kind of poetry today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. You may be into poetry, but Laura Winton is into performance poetry. We'll meet her today, then Garrison Keillor with the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. Performance poetry. What is that?
To me, it's just poetry meant to be performed. I mean, there are all kinds of things, all kinds of definitions if you look on the internet about spoken word versus performance poetry versus poetry slam poetry. But I think it's any poetry that's just that is performed. It may be written for performance or it may be written for the page, and the poet can just bring it alive by reading.
Well, I mean, isn't Laura all poetry meant to be performed?
I think so. I mean, that's the history.
So there is no non-performance.
But anymore, there is literary poetry. There's poetry that's just meant for to be read, and there's poetry that's meant to be read out loud. So read on the page versus read out loud.
Well, but you didn't finish that first comment. A lot of poetry is being accused today of being written by academics for academics, for a very small audience of the 300 people who read journals. And,
yes.
And what you want is a wider audience for poetry, and that does, it seems to me, mean a different kind of poetry and a different attitude toward it and a different way of disseminating it.
Yeah, I mean, so I've done poetry. I've done poetry at open mics and at readings, you know, at traditional readings. I do poetry at the Figgy once a year during the Pakakucha, where you have some slides to do with your poetry. I've done poetry at festivals. So the most unexpected place I ever did poetry was in the food court of a festival in Minneapolis. And at first I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, oh, we're in the food court. And I went, oh, no, we're in the food court. We have a captive audience who's going to listen to us, you know. And the greatest thing I ever hear from people is, I don't usually like poetry, but I really like what you did. Or I really like this, you know, this was a great idea. I don't hear much poetry.
Well, that's probably the best thing you can hear, right?
Right.
I mean, that because it seems to me, for as long as I've known you, that's what you are trying to do, is reach a different audience, which is every man,
right,
with poetry.
Yeah.
Don doesn't know this, but you remind me a lot. I've known you ever since you were a student at Augustana. Of the Stephen Leacock hero who jumped on his horse and rode off madly in all directions, and that is you. You know, you've directed a play at Scott Community College. You've gone to school at the University of Minnesota and taught a course or two. You started a magazine there. You're now involved with Western. And every time I talk to you, you've got about three or four new things on the fire. Why don't you? You're here because you got a grant recently from, is it Quad City Arts?
Yes.
To do a poetry magazine of performance poetry.
Yeah.
So we don't run out of time. Why don't we start with that, and then we can kind of back up and talk a little bit more about poetry in general.
Okay.
What's the grant going to do?
Okay. Well, for 10 years in Minneapolis, I published a magazine called Caravana, or The Temporary Death of the Brutus. That's the entire name of the magazine. And it was published, it started off out of the open mics in Minneapolis because I felt there were a lot of good poets coming to the open mics who didn't seem to want to publish, who didn't seem to send their work out. And I wanted to make them hungry to get published. So I wanted to publish them. And so the magazine started off as Voices from the Well magazine, which was named after one of our open mics. And after I published it for a couple of years, I wanted to go national with it. And I wanted to signal to people that we were avant-garde, and that we were more like Cabaret Voltaire than a poetry slam. So I named it Caravana after the name of a sound poem by Hugo Ball. And we published poetry, but we also publish short scripts. We've published musical scores, short stories, anything like that. But I do require that it be somehow avant-garde or experimental or whatever term you prefer to use. So,
What does the grant enable you to do?
The grant is going to give us money to, first of all, revive the magazine, and we're going to publish a Quad Cities only edition. So all the people we publish will be artists in the Quad Cities. So I've been making the rounds at the open mics, at some readings from the Midwest Writing Center, again at the Figge and things like that, and promoting the magazine and telling people we're going to accept submissions. Our submission time will be from September 1st until the end of the year, until December 31st.
So we have today on the 3rd of September, we have until December 31st.
Yes.
For people to submit.
Yeah.
How do they do that?
They just attach their work to an email and send it to me by email, and that's at Caravana, Caravane, @earthlink.net. And one thing I do is I will take previously published work, which almost no publications ever take. So, because Dr. Tweet, you were talking about how there are the 300 people that read the poetry journals, and I feel that way too. So just because you've published something one time doesn't mean, it can never be published again and you can't reach a different audience. So I welcome previously published work as well.
From submissions, do you make choices?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, with the grant from Quad City Arts, I'm going to hire some readers. So I always talk about us as job creators. So I'm going to hire some poets to do readings and help me look at the manuscripts I get in. But I make the ultimate decision.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I'll put in people that other readers have said, we're not sure about this. And I'll usually take them.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but sometimes.
Are there length limits to, if I wanted to send a poem in, what are the limits?
I haven't really set any limits before. I think probably 5 pages or so would be a good limit. Obviously, don't send us a super long story. Don't send us your novella. It's still a 25 to 40 page magazine, depending on how much work we have to include.
Boy, if you take a 5-page poem, you're going to eat up the magazine in a hurry.
Yeah, well, if 5 pages on an 8.5 by 11 sheet is a little bit different when you lay it out, so it might be 2 pages or 3 pages once we lay it out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I don't think you expect most poems to be that long.
I wouldn't think so.
That sounds like a tempo.
Yeah, the longest poem I have is, I think, 3 or 4 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've had that. I've had that published other places. So.
You used the word avant-garde. Explain.
Okay. Well, to me, the main thing I want to see is work that I don't see all the time. So, like, if you have one thing I really don't like is, like, narrative poetry or poetry that tells a story. And if you have a perfectly well-written story, either in poem or in prose, it probably won't fit in with Caravana. The avant-garde, I tell people, mess up your story, play with words, play around with the structure of the story, put the end in the middle, and see how it works. And, or with poetry, try to write an exquisite corpse, so something where you write one line, the next person writes one line, and someone else writes a different line, or just really use creative language, that you wouldn't normally use. Because a lot of stuff I see is it's okay poetry, it's okay prose, but it doesn't really spark my imagination. It doesn't really get me thinking in a different way. And
so
that's what I want to see.
You wouldn't want "I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud That Floats on High"?
Probably not at this point, because we've heard that before. It might have been very experimental in its day, but now it's not. And that's the thing about the avant-garde is they're always staying one step ahead of, what is current in literature.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, it seems to me Whitman would make a good performance poet, right? I mean,
way back then,
much more than Wordsworth would.
Well, but, talk about performance poetry, that's what Shakespeare is. Shakespeare is dramatic poetry that you perform on stage mm-hmm. with bodily action. Now, when you talk of performance poetry, you want people to dance around or wave their arms. What exactly is a performance, or is it strictly in the way the voice is used?
It could be either. I've done long poems with multiple people doing different voices in the poem. I've done some with movement, and I've done some work with dancers, and so they'll dance while I read my poem. I've done all kinds of things. So I think the main thing I want to see is with Caravana is that people go out and read their poetry at least once, or their story, or perform their piece or whatever at least once, so that they've been to an open mic and they know what it feels like to perform. But obviously I'd like people who perform regularly as well. Mm-hmm. So, but I do require everybody to go out and read at least once and tell me about that.
When did performance poetry begin? I mean, the name performance poetry, as you're using it, did it grow out of the poetry slams?
I think poetry slams, yeah. In about the early 80s, the poetry slams began. And actually, they began in Chicago, but there were very early slams here in the Quad Cities.
Right.
I remember going to see people.
There were a couple at Augie.
Yeah, yeah. So they started in the early 80s. And with the New Eurekan Poets Cafe, which opened up, I think, in the late 70s or early 80s. And now there's the Bowery Poetry Club. There's the Green Mill in Chicago. There are all kinds of poetry slams all over the place. In Minneapolis, there are. When I first started Caravana, when it was Voices from the Well, you could literally go to an open mic every night of the week somewhere in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And so that was just awesome.
Now, let me get this straight, though, that you're asking for submissions, to, mm-hmm. and you send it to karawane@earthlink.com or net?
.net.
.net.
Yes.
Earthlink.net.
Yeah.
Now, when you have assembled these poems and published them, mm-hmm. are they published to be performed somewhere, or are they merely the written record of what was performed?
I think of Caravana as the written record of what was performed. So, but obviously you could take an issue of Caravana and go perform it somewhere, you know, or perform a play. Hopefully the people that publish plays or musical pieces would want to have them performed. So you can contact either us or contact the author directly. Sometimes I put the author's name and email in there directly, and sometimes I haven't. So that's
it. Seems to me that when the first issue comes out, when is that going to be?
Probably March.
That a coming out party would involve some of the people in there reading and doing a performance.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm looking at a poem on some kind of a carryall.
Yes.
What? How did that happen?
There's a place called cafepress.com, and you can put your anything you want on any kind of merchandise. So I have a Cafe Press site for my own stuff and also for Caravana, actually. And so I have graphics that we've published before and people's homes that we've published before on this site. And this is one of my bags. So, yes, I have my poem on
bag. Let's hear some performance poetry.
Yeah,
all right.
But don't dance around.
No, all right.
I need you close to the mic.
All right. So this is Alchemist. I want to be the part of you that is not for sale, the thing you do for love. When you look at me, I will remember your dreams. Touch me. I am the alchemy in your soul in the warmth of autumn spring. When leaves live or die on their own, when winds... I can't read that word. Whatever. And buds sprout new limbs. You forget about anger and loss and want. And the breeze forms your lips into smiles against your will. This is where you shed protons, drop what is unnecessary from your core, and become new. Where these...
The wrinkle where, in the
oh.
bag.
where tin turns to gold, and the dancers in your orbit shine and burst and die. Unstable and electrified, you break out of yourself and radiate. You are a new discovery. Someone else's Nobel Prize. Touch me and become sacred. Remember where you come from. We'll build a shrine to no god in particular, but the ones we had to invent to thank for our visions. When you look at me, I will remember your dreams. I'm the thing you do for love. I will not be forgetful, for sale. When you look at me, I will remember.
Very nice.
It seems to me you're going where angels fear to tread. You know, modern poetry has really, modern philosophy too. There are no huge pictures anymore. You know, like there's no Tillich. to do the work. It's all I'm going to solve part three of problem six, right? and poetry, a lot of poetry has withdrawn. It would be sort of afraid to do that kind of thing. So you're encouraging people to let it all hang out, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And a lot of what I work with is, you know, I work with myths and known stories and things like that. But again, I still try to mix it up and present it in a way that is not linear like a story, you know. But I use a lot of those big kind of images in what I write.
Well, I must say, this is an interesting project, and it's nice that you have a grant to help you with this.
Yes.
What's going to happen after the grant runs out?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I am planning. It's kind of given me a new kind of energy to do a national issue as well. So I've been talking to the people in Minneapolis that I used to publish a lot and a lot of other authors, and we're talking about putting together a national issue as well. So it'll probably continue on, and the artists that I have published from the Quad Cities will probably be integrated with other artists in the future.
Or ride madly off in all directions.
Well, that's a possibility as well, yes.
Well, I must say that is a very interesting project, and we'll remind people, if you want to make a submission of your avant-garde poetry that takes off in new directions, Caravana, Caravane, at earthlink.net. That is the email source that you use to make your submission. And who knows, you may make it into print, but perform your poetry first somewhere.
Yeah. We also have a Facebook page, so you can contact us through Facebook. If you just look up Caravana, you should be able to find us on Facebook as well.
But remember, it's not spelled the way you might think.
Yes.
Caravane.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Laura Winton. And now let's thank Garrison Keillor. Support for Writer's Almanac on WVIK comes from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, working together with volunteer donors to provide blood products and services to hospitals throughout the region. Information at bloodcenter.org. And into the book bag we go, and there with his hand filled with notes from our listeners is Roll Tweet.
Now, this is a book that I found the way you find books. The title just intrigued me so much I had to go over to Barnes & Noble's, and of course they didn't have it, but they ordered it for me, and it came in 3 days. It is a mystery, too, but it goes way beyond being a mystery. The title is The Trouble with Goats and Sheep.
That and is a good title.
And it's by Joanna Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N, who's a psychiatrist in London. Her first book, but it is a good one. It turns out that a woman in a neighborhood, which all the residents call The Avenue, has disappeared suddenly, and nobody knows where she is. She was one of those women who was very nosy and involved herself in all sorts of people's affairs. Anybody else's business was her business, and she disappears. Nobody seems very interested in finding her. Her husband says, well, she'll come back, and every day he goes down to meet the bus thinking she'll come back on the bus when she's good and ready. And a couple of weeks pass, and she doesn't do it. So these two children, 10 or so friends, decide they're going to find her. And they have just gone to the Anglican church and listened to a sermon by a vicar who's probably the most ineffectual vicar you'll ever meet in a story, who does a sermon that day on God separating the sheep from the goats at the final judgment. And so they decide they better look for God, because God would know where this woman is. And the problem is, as they go from household to household and talk to each household, you know, the avenue, like any neighborhood, everybody plays a part, right? I mean, you move into a neighborhood and you're the guy who does this, and that woman is the woman who does that. And so the neighbors have the sheep and goats very well separated. They know who the few goats are, and the rest of them, of course, are all sheep. The problem is, as these girls start to investigate household after household, they discover that it's very difficult to separate quite often the sheep from the goats. And what is delightful about this book is that we have the children's point of view, which is, at the age of 10, of course, naive, but they're wiser than they know. They're an eye among the blind, as Wordsworth would say. And so we see things going on in that neighborhood that the kids are totally unaware of. And so it's a delicious double point of view. Everybody is under suspicion. The most person they most suspect is a loner. They have driven his mother into an old people's home, Walter Bishop. He's the butt of everybody's suspicions. Walter, they want him out of the neighborhood. They don't want him in town. And years ago, the disappearance of a one-year-old child was blamed on him, even though the child was later found. And they are sure that he had something to do with the disappearance of this woman. But everybody said, no, she'll come back. She's just left her husband because he's no good. And then they discover her shoes on the banks of a canal a block away.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly the police get involved. And that's about all I can say, because there is a really bizarre twist in this story at the end. And God does indeed come to the avenue, and the sheep get separated from the goats, and the mystery is solved. And I wish I could tell you what that twist is, but it is bizarre, but totally believable.
Yeah, you are itching to tell us.
Itching to tell, and as soon as we're off the air, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, come on now. What have I done to
you? Or do you want to read the book? It's good. It's very good.
That sounds like a very good book, I must say.
And one of the things they discover is that in his day, among the sheep and the goats in Jerusalem, Jesus would have been the goat. Right?
Yes, that's true. That's very true.
And not a sheep. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees were the sheep.
Yeah.
And that complicates things a little.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, it's a really good read.
You know, I read biblical scholars from time to time, and I remember I encountered one who was convinced that Jesus was a Pharisee himself, and that he had a falling out with the other Pharisees. And of course, Paul was had his problems with the Pharisees,
right.
And that same thing was said of him. Your mind is really teased by not knowing what exactly was going on all those years ago.
Yeah.
Or even 10 years ago.
Right.
it's hard.
Well, this is a teasing book. A couple of weeks ago, if you were listening, we have decided to start a free library out in the lobby of WVIK with some of these books that we suggest, that some of which are hard to get. And so I will... by the time you hear this, have this book, The Trouble with Goats and Sheep, out there. And if anybody wants to come by and take a look at it, read it, come back, make a comment on it, and return it, that's fine.
Okay. And I noticed that the number of books is starting to dwindle. You're going to have to...
Well, some people took some books today, so...
Yeah, and so you're... Well, not today.
Not today, but...
But through the week.
Yes.
And that means you're going to have to pony
up
a few more books.
I have plenty of books. Nan Carter sends me an endless supply from Berkeley.
Well, get busy. I mean, load up and bring those things over. But for right now, we're going to load up and move out of here. Thank you very much for joining us today. And remember, Laura Wenton, ask for your submission at kara@earthlink.net. Your avant-garde poem may be published. And we'll be back next week, and we hope you will too for another Scribble.